And going straight across now to our correspondent, Simon Marks, joining us live from Washington, D.C. Hi, Simon. If you can first tell us more about what we know about the agreement so far.
Well, I think the first point to make, Molly, is that this is an absolute blinder of a move by President Donald Trump. We had no idea that this historic announcement was coming just a few hours ago. There was no indication of it on the president's calendar for the day. Then suddenly the press were called into the Oval Office, and there they found the president of the United States flanked by his top diplomatic and national security staff for an announcement that he has brokered an end to half a century of enmity between Israel and the United Arab Emirates, that the two nations are going to normalize relations. President Trump says they're going to sign a range of agreements over the next few weeks that will affect a whole variety of different areas of life. Investment, tourism, they're going to establish direct flights between the two countries, agreements on security, telecommunications, technology, energy, healthcare, culture, the environment, and of course, and very importantly, the establishment of reciprocal embassies in one another's capital cities. President Trump said that he had been on the phone this morning with both Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel and Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed of the United Arab Emirates, and they had approved the deal. As you know, there is nothing more that any American president likes, nothing they like more than being able to announce that they've made history in the Middle East. And you could see President Trump absolutely basking in the applause that he received at the end of that announcement in the Oval Office, basking in applause that he knows is not just because of the achievement that he's unveiled, but also because of the surprise manner in which it's been unveiled here over the last 90 minutes or so.
Absolutely. Now, this is a product of lengthy discussions, Simon. But these discussions gathered pace, were accelerated just recently, and the November elections have to be a major factor and the reason for that. To what extent, according to you, will this actually help Donald Trump in the November re-election?
Well, there's absolutely no question, Molly, that this couldn't be coming at a better time for him. And I suspect he might have been influential in determining the precise moment at which this announcement was going to be unveiled. It takes the wind out of the Democrats' sails, at least for the next couple of news cycles, as everyone here suddenly focuses on this agreement and tries to understand in detail what it means. Just, of course, as Joe Biden had selected Kamala Harris to be his vice presidential running mate, it demonstrates that President Trump has the capacity to call in favors with friendly foreign leaders, including, of course, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the Crown Prince Mohammed bin Zayed of the United Arab Emirates. Look, the relations between the UAE and Israel have been warming gradually for a while. So we now know from President Trump's disclosure today that behind the scenes, Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, Brian Hook, a senior official at the State Department, and others have been working away on this deal, knowing that they might be able to get this incremental agreement in place, but not the much bigger Middle East peace deal that, of course, was originally envisaged by President Donald Trump. A hallmark of this is that the Israelis have agreed that they will not annex any further territories or lands claimed by the Palestinians, and also that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is going to forego the declaration of permanent sovereignty over some areas in the West Bank already occupied by the Israelis. That is a big deal. That's a big problem piece that Benjamin Netanyahu is agreeing to take off, at least for now, the chessboard. And in that regard, this is going to be hailed, I think, by foreign policy observers here in Washington as a substantial achievement. Certainly, Donald Trump supporters on Twitter are now almost unanimously insisting that this means that suddenly he is a candidate for the Nobel Peace Prize. So that gives you a sense of what he's done to the discussion here in the United States today at exactly the moment where he is so keen to turn around his flagging fortunes in the country's opinion polls.
I was just coming to that. Flagging fortunes, indeed. This comes close on the heels of the series of controversies, of course, that have dominated headlines to do with Donald Trump. And this could not have come for him at a better time, like you said.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is a fresh demonstration that it would be a huge mistake to count Donald Trump out. He's absolutely down. He's trailing Joe Biden badly, both on the national stage and, of course, in those all-important battleground swing states where this election is going to be ultimately decided later this year. The unveiling of Kamala Harris as Joe Biden's running mate has electrified Democrats here. They are joyous. They believe that from their political perspective, salvation is knocking at America's political front door. And here, what, 36 hours after that selection was unveiled, less than 24 hours after Joe Biden and Kamala Harris participated in their first joint appearance together, here's Donald Trump making sure that the Klieg lights of attention are firmly back on him. And this time, not because of some erroneous tweet that he's put out or some controversial statement that he's made about COVID-19. This time because of a substantial foreign policy achievement. That in and of itself proves that Donald Trump remains very much in the game.
So will it or will it not actually benefit Donald Trump in the November re-election and help him in his flagging fortunes? Like you said, we'll wait and watch for that. Leaving it there for the moment. Thanks very much, Simon, for those updates and perspectives.